Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. The announcements for this morning have been on the screens before you as we have been gathering and are in the bulletin, so please take a moment to acquaint yourself with those which are of most importance to you. A couple that I would just like to draw to folks' attention is this coming Tuesday evening will be session. Session will meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday evening. And the agenda for Tuesday's meeting will be going out tomorrow. And finally, you may have noticed on the screens, pick up choir for next week. Next week being Thanksgiving. We're looking for some folks to augment our small but mighty choir. And so if you would like to be part of the worship for next week in the choir, there will be a brief practice after worship this morning in the choir room downstairs, and then again next Sunday morning before worship. So please plan to join us. And last week, we sent out the membership information forms for folks. This is our way of making sure that we are up to date with all of your, especially emails and telephone numbers, because those things change with greater frequency these days. And so if you did not receive one of these, or you forgot and you want to fill it out this morning, there are some spare copies at the both entrances to the sanctuary. So please do that. And finally, a welcome this morning to Bill McClellan and his son, Mark. Bill needs no introduction, a child of the manse. This is the second week in a row we've had a child of the manse of this congregation here, so it's good to have Bill with us. And Bill also served here for a time as an interim minister back after Fred's retirement. So we welcome them to worship this morning.
I'll start over. Oh, there we are. 2 weeks minus the date over turkey dinner. The team's working well. We are scouring the neighborhoods, picking up good things, new things for sale. But we are interested to have 200 people buy tickets. Now, the tickets are $25 each, $75 for a family of four. And I would like to have 200 people in the hall. If you can't buy a ticket, you are welcome to give us a donation. Some of the people who can't come say, give it to the church. They gave us donations. You'll get a tax receipt for it. So I hope to see you on October the 19th. There is a good time guaranteed for all. Thank you very much.
And as we enter the presence of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign for us that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his glory. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The God who first heard the morning stars The God who first heard the morning stars sing never forgets the cry of the afflicted.
You, O God, have not forsaken those who seek you.
The Lord who set the limits of the seas remains a stronghold for the oppressed.
You, O God, have not forsaken those who seek you.
Come, let us thank God for steadfast love, for all God's mighty works. Let us come before God in prayer. Holy God, you created the world and all that is in it. The wind and the sea obey your Son. You are the source of our strength, and our confidence is in you. Speak to us this day of the sure and certain hope you have made known to us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray all these things. Amen. And this morning's hymn is a hymn we sang for the first time a couple of weeks ago. Now all are welcome, and it speaks of the hospitality of God's grace as we come in worship. So let us sing the hymn, All Are Welcome. We strive to be strong and self-sufficient, but in truth, we are in constant need of God's grace. In penitence and faith, Let us confess our weakness to God and to one another as we say the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. O Christ, whose voice brought peace to the waves, we pray for a glimpse of your peace in our lives. When all around us has given way to chaos, ground us in your presence. When the struggle for justice seems endless and we grow tired, refresh us by your mercy. Help us to see that you are the boat with us, even when we are certain that it is sinking. Forgive us when we doubt the power of your grace, O Lord, and make us agents of your reign. Amen. Sisters and brothers, the good news is this. Grace is poured out upon us like water, mercy like a never-ending stream, bathing us in goodness and love. Live then as those who have received new life, rejoicing in your baptism. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next song of praise is number 348 in the Book of Praise. Tell me the stories of Jesus, number 348, or as it appears before you on the screens. Be seated, and I've got one young person this morning, but I don't know if he wants to come up or not. Want to come up? Okay, cool. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. You want to have a seat there? Thinking about time this week. I came home from vacation with a wristwatch that belonged to my father. And I already have a wristwatch. So I said to my son, who's 30-something years old, 33, if he might like his grandfather's wristwatch, what do you think he said? Yes? Well, that wasn't his first response. His first response was, do you wear a wristwatch? That was his first response, too. He said, Dad, nobody wears a wristwatch anymore. But then he said, well, let me see it. And it was a nice wristwatch. And so he said, well, maybe when I'm dressed up, it's nicer to have a wristwatch than my phone. I will take that wristwatch. So, thinking about time, wristwatch, my wristwatch can tell me all kinds of things, right? Do you know how to read a wristwatch? I hate to ask insulting questions, but you never know because I don't wear them anymore, right? What can you tell from a wristwatch? Okay. Tell the time, hours and minutes. It's got a second hand on it, so I can tell seconds. If we were going to have a 100-yard dash, I could time you with my second hand. And my wristwatch has one more feature on it. Can you see it? A little number in a little box. Shh. Which I always forget to reset when the month is only 30 days, but it tells me the date. It tells me that today is the 6th of October, or it will when I get home and reset it. I see you looking at yours, Jeanette, just to make sure she's reset it. So all that information on a wristwatch. Now, I know these days everybody uses a cell phone, other things to keep time. But all that information right there on a wristwatch. And that's pretty good for telling time. Where does it run out? Doesn't? Well, it does kind of. It does tell me like minutes and seconds and hours, right? It does tell me the date for today. But if we want to talk about the long scheme of things, then that's not very good for the wristwatch. My tablet has a calendar in it, right? Or, because I'm old, calendar. In fact, I just bought one of those big 4-month calendars to put on the office wall to keep track because I was losing track of stuff. Calendar. And I was reminded of calendars this week because as a community of faith, as a group of people who gather together, we had a celebration this week. Now, some of you will remember from last week, we signed a birthday card. And Roy, do you want to pop that picture up on the screen? Oh, there it is. A birthday card we signed for Ralph. Seated there in the center, guest of honor at his 100th birthday. So I won't always put your picture up here for your birthday, but when you turn 100, you may end up on the wall, just saying. So we celebrated with Ralph on Thursday, and we didn't have cake, but we had little goodies, and we had coffee, and we had a wonderful time shared together. And that's, of course, Ralph. And Ralph lives in McConnell Manor, so that's some of the people who our resident there from our congregation, so you will recognize a couple of familiar faces there, and the members of the pastoral care team who celebrated with Ralph this past week. So as we gather together today, we celebrate all kinds of things, but one of the things we do as a family of faith is celebrate the milestones in people's lives, baptisms, marriages, and really special birthdays. And so we give thanks to God for the blessing and the blessing of time that we each enjoy and that we each have a chance to see pass by with. So thank you for coming up. Laura, you going downstairs if he wants to go down? Laura's at the back if you want to go down for Sunday school. And we'll see you after worship this morning. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of eternity, by the power of your Spirit, speak your words to us today, that in hearing we may know your truth and live ever more faithfully for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from Job chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Job chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Then Job answered, "Indeed, I know that this is so, but how can a mortal be just before God? If one wished to contend with him, one could not answer him once in a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has resisted him and succeeded? He who removes mountains and they do not know it, when he overturns them in his anger. Who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble? Who commands the sun and it does not rise? Who seals up the stars? Who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? Who made the bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the chambers of the south? Who does great things beyond understanding and marvelous things without number?" I'll continue with Psalm 51, 10 to 19. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing loud of your deliverance.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and
do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Our second reading will be taken from Philippians chapter 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concerns for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, but I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any of all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Christ, him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. This is the word of God.
And this morning's gospel reading, taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 37 to 41. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 37th verse. Now a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And his disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" Amen. And may the blessings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with his people as they read his word together. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This has been a week of firsts for me, it turns out. Now, when I say firsts, I don't mean anything as mundane as the first day of driving a new car. You will have noticed the same black Volkswagen parked in the minister's spot, the parking lot. Nor do I mean anything like the first day of trying out some new skill of which I was particularly thrilled. No, nothing like that. But all week long this week, as I read on this passage from Mark chapter 4 that we've just heard, I encountered scholars and preachers, all of whom noted, "I never noticed this little fact before in the text." And there were four or five little things in the text that people kind of said, "Gee, you know, I've often not paid attention to that." So I now have about four new sermons on Mark chapter 4 and the story of Jesus stilling the sea. So I'm set, I think, for the rest of my ministry. But one of the things that gave me time for thought this week was this simple little phrase. And Jesus was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a cushion. And it was the great preacher Fred Craddock who once noted in a sermon that he never really gave much thought to those words. And to be honest with you, neither had I until this week. But if you think about it, I'm not sure there is another reference in all of Scripture to Jesus sleeping. There are allusions to his disciples being sleepy and falling asleep, most notably perhaps the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus goes out to pray on the night before his crucifixion and he challenges his disciples, "Can you not stay awake even for this 1 hour longer?" But of Jesus, I can't think of another reference. And as Craddock notes, sleeplessness hints at something beyond itself. Sleeplessness hints at a sense of deep trust. People who sleep are people who are able to relax. Now that, I think we all get, don't we? We all know those nights when we toss and turn in our beds, unable to turn off the intrusive thoughts that creep in and prevent us from finding that sense of ease. But here in the story, the fact that Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat as the disciples are clamoring around, pulling on the lines, trying to keep the boat turned into the waves, as the waves break over the bow and fill their little craft with water. Well, that stands out, doesn't it? Or it should. After all, could you sleep on a storm-tossed sea, with the water sloshing around in the bottom of the boat all around you? But Jesus is asleep, and the disciples have to wake him up. It's not just a little jostle that does it. You know, they have to go over and shake him on his shoulder and say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And surely what happens next amazes the disciples. Because the disciples are consumed by the immediate. Right? They are concerned about the ship that is going to sink. But instead of grabbing a bucket to bail water out of the boat or jumping on a line in an attempt to maneuver the sail or pushing with one of the other disciples on the rudder in an attempt to correct the course of this little boat, Jesus declares to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." Jesus' actions in this moment exceeds the expectations of the disciples and causes them to question, well, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, for those of us who know the fullness of the story of the gospel, we know that this is Jesus, who is the Son of God. This is the one who called order out of chaos in Genesis chapter 1 and who holds out the promise to all who will place their trust in him that he will be their God and they will be his people. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yet we know that it's not nearly as simple as it seems. Do not be afraid. Worry and fear and death surround us, and at times they draw so near to us that we cannot sleep. But we toss and turn in our beds, just like that little boat upon the waves. And in those moments, God comes. We are reminded of the power of God to deliver us in the words that we hear from Paul this morning. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul declares, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty." Paul uses an interesting word here. Content. It is contentment that transcends what we have. A note that Paul acknowledges when he says that he has had both little and plenty. But he is able to be content because he recognizes that God watches over him. That God travels with him in all of those seasons of plenty and want. We live in a world that struggles for contentment. There's always the next, the newest, the greatest thing. Indeed, our culture trains us to want the opposite of to be content. Not to pick on anyone in particular, but well, Apple releases a new iPhone every year. And people line up days in advance to have the opportunity to be among the first to own this new product. Do they really need a new phone? Probably not. Is this version that they're in line for now so much better and so much more sophisticated than the one that they have in their pocket already? Probably not. But we've been trained to fear missing out. We live in a culture in which there are no limits to people's spending. We don't need to save or to plan. All we need is the credit card in our pocket, and the world can be ours. But at what cost? The cost of contentment. It is interesting that in the unsettling times of the last couple of years, many have begun to complain about the state of the economy. And this is way too big a discussion to get into for a sermon, and one might argue maybe not the right place to talk about at all. So I won't. Suffice it to say that it has become an issue in the election in the United States, and if you have seen the pre-election ads on your television for our own country, well, it's there too, right? And yet, in the States, as they've been doing surveys and asking people how they feel about the economy and whatnot, they've discovered something. If you dig a little bit deeper, while 80% will say they're unhappy, unsure about the economy, they don't believe it's going in a right direction. If you ask them about their own personal situation, many will respond that they feel they're doing okay. They're at least doing as well as they were doing a couple of years ago and perhaps a little bit better. But they've lost the sense of contentment. Our texts today encourage us to place our trust in God, the God who gives all things and who knows our every need. Not that God will give us everything that we want, but the promise is that we will have sufficient for the day, that we might be content. In one of my former congregations, at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning for the 9:30 service, the choir would gather in the choir loft and break out. Do you remember the little blue songbook that the United Church had? I can't remember what the name of it was. I think it came out after the 72 Book of Praise because they had taken out some of the good old hymns. Well, that was our anthem book. And so every week we'd pull it out, the four or five of us in the choir, and we'd go. And one of the favorite hymns, a special favorite to John Henderson, who might be known to a couple of people here, was this one. A hymn entitled, O Master, the Tempest is Raging. O Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep, the winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or struggles or evil or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of oceans and seas and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. And then the hymn, the last verse of the hymn concludes, Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor a rest on the blissful shore. We gather in worship today, every day, to give thanks to a God to whom we can call out in our deepest and darkest need and know that he will respond, that we will receive peace, and that we, in the end, shall be content. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have chosen the poverty of the world to make your people rich in faith. Help us to put our faith into practice through the offering of our lives, giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the poor, all for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, your word made flesh and dwelling upon us. Amen. And please remain standing that we might say together the Apostles' Creed. The Creed is found on page 539 in the Book of Praise, or will appear before you on the screens. We unite our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ across all time and space as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. No one who comes to me will I drive out. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite to this table all who are members within any branch of the Holy Catholic Church. This is the Lord's table and belongs by right to all his people. All who have been baptized into the membership of the church are lovingly urged to come to the table that he has prepared. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us sing to the glory of God our hymn number 474, The Love of God Comes Close, hymn 474. The love of God comes close, where stands an open door, to let the sinner in, to mingle rich and poor. The love of God is here to stay, embracing those who walk the smiles and tears, the joy of Joy and thanksgiving, we come to the Lord this morning and gather around this table at his invitation. Let us come now in prayer to express our gratitude for all that he has done. The great prayer of thanksgiving has responses built within it. They will appear on the screens or are found in the Book of Praise at page 564. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, Lord God. What can compare with your wisdom and love? You feed and clothe us with your mercy. You guide and shelter us by your grace. Therefore, we praise you, joining the song of the universal church and the heavenly choir. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us the habits of your holy realm, where first are last and the greatest are least, and little children show the way of grace. Remembering your goodness and grace, we offer ourselves to you with gratitude as we share in this joyful feast, proclaiming the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, and upon this gift, these gifts of bread and wine. Make us one in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give us the wisdom and understanding to resist evil, to draw near to you, and to honor you as Lord of our lives. Through the same Lord, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we bless you, Lord God, Holy Trinity, now and forevermore. Hear us now as we continue to pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Thank you.
take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This do in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed in the blood of Christ, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink you all of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God of glory, in this holy feast you have made us one with Christ and with that great multitude of the faithful. Those who hunger and thirst no more and worship night and day in your holy temple. Lead us in the paths of righteousness and guide us to the springs of water of the water of life until we join the choir of the redeemed, singing salvation belongs to our God who is seated upon the throne and to the Lamb, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569 in the Book of Praise. O Jesus, I have promised number 569, or as it will appear before you on the screens. Just a reminder, there's a time of fellowship following worship in the back, so do plan to stay for a cup of coffee. And for those who are interested in the pickup choir for next week, we will meet in the choir room. And now, as we leave this place, may you lead a life worthy of your calling, giving glory to God in all things. And the blessing of the one God, Spirit, Son, and Father, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. We praise your name, O God. Amen. We praise your name, O God. Amen. 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 We praise your name, O God.